You've never heard anything like it.
Yo! Santi Paffo la marca! Insuperable!
What?
She woke up and found a turd from her kitty on her pillow. Cat.
No, my old cat, God bless his soul, he had the glutes of a god. And if he didn't like something, he would let you know. One time, he decided that he was going to drop one on the bed, on the guest bed.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have been, like, you could have drawn corner to corner, and it would have been right exactly in the middle.
Wow.
Another time, my wife didn't let him out.
Mm-hmm.
Right in her shoe.
Yeah, no,
right in her shoe.
I've seen cats do that. Like, the cat looks like, I'm going to poop in your shoe.
And
they do.
And it didn't hit any of the sides.
Nope.
It was perfectly down. And all of a sudden, I was sleeping in, and all of a sudden I hear, ah! And I'm like, whoa, what happened? And she's just crying.
The cat butts are like the heat-seeking missiles of animal poop.
Oh, my God.
Like they can direct it exactly where they want it to go.
I know. It's incredible. It's an incredible thing.
They're wizards. Without opposable thumbs, they put it wherever they want it to go.
Yep.
It's amazing. So we were talking earlier about kids and this whole, I don't know who I was talking to over the weekend, but we were discussing, like, as a parent, because this guy's a parent too.
Okay.
And his boy's getting old enough now to, like, just start figuring out sports. And
okay.
This, my friend has never been athletic. Like, he was in the Army, but he's never done any, like, actual team sports. So I said, well, are you going to push your kid into any particular sport? Are you going to keep him away from football or that kind of thing? You know, like, if I had a kid, I would teach my son, if I had a son, if they're not left-handed, how to throw left-handed or how to be a wicked pitcher. Because being a pitcher in the major leagues is a guaranteed route to being a millionaire, multi-millionaire.
Well, I will say that when I did weep a little when my son said he wants to play soccer.
Well,
but he doesn't know what soccer is. But he does have a left hand. But if I am going to force him into anything, where I'm going to force him to be left-handed, I'm going to force him to be a left-handed golfer. Because a left-handed golfer, you have an advantage because the vast majority of golfers are right-handed.
Sure.
And so the vast majority of golf courses are designed with the right-handed golfer in mind, which means that as a left-handed golfer, inherently you obviously have a little bit easier time because the shots and the problems are not meant for a left-handed golfer. They're meant for a right-handed golfer. So you not that it's much easier, but you tend to have an easier time getting around a course because of the courses are made for right-handed golfers.
You know, I never think about golf as a sport. Like, if I had a kid, I would push them into it. Because I think if I were a dad, I would definitely push my kids into some kind of sport. I would make them do some sports.
Well, I think sports are interesting. I think that they're good for character building. They teach you about the importance and sometimes the non-importance of winning and losing. That you can give it all you got, but it doesn't mean that winning is everything.
Yeah.
Those type of things that if you've given your best effort, sometimes losing is okay. Unless it's the Broncos.
Right.
But I think that if I'm going to push my kid into a sport and I'm sure that I do a lot of sports and I am a sporty guy and I do watch a lot of sports, even though you don't believe I do.
Well, you don't watch the sports that matter. Football.
I watch football. Are you kidding?
Well, you don't talk about it.
Well, I know what's going to happen. Why do I have to tell you?
Okay, fair enough.
Fair enough. I'm sorry. I don't want to spoil the surprise for all of you.
Please do.
I can tell you what the Broncos are going to be next year, but that would be ruin the surprise.
I want you to tell me before every game so I can go lay a bet down.
See, it doesn't work that way because the minute someone puts money down on it, it doesn't work that way.
It goes away.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can tell you what's going to happen, but the minute you put money down, I don't know. It just curses it. I've tried.
Okay.
I've tried and I've lost. It's terrible.
That's the only kind of betting I will do. And I still won't do it very often.
Is betting where you have the actual answer?
No, I will. Like, if I'm in Vegas and I have extra money, which is never, I will actually go to the sports book and like lay down a little money on a team that I feel pretty comfortable.
You know what
with.
The one bet you should have laid down this week?
What?
Trades made, because the over under, remember we were talking about the over under on trades was 24.5. 38 trades.
Hell yeah.
38 trades, the most ever.
I think they had 24 before the first round was over. I mean, they had 13 trades in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. 32 trades over the course of 3 days, 7 rounds.
I believe this is what has come from the sort of the fantasy, the one day fantasy sports.
Mm-hmm.
Is basically what you're doing is you're becoming a GM and you're accumulating a team with a salary cap is basically what one day fantasy is.
Sure.
Same thing as Soccer Manager or one of these other things where you can actually, you don't really, the games don't matter. It's putting together the teams. And the problem with those is because you're doing it every day, you sometimes tend to meddle and fiddle. And if you don't do anything, then you feel like you've done nothing when that may be precisely what you should be doing. And instead you decide you need to trade or you need to cut somebody or you need to, I mean, I believe that is permeating through all our sports. And it's frustrating for me because there are times when you just shouldn't do anything, go with what you got and do it. The Rapids are doing that. They're fiddling and they're making themselves worse.
Well, you've always got to be trying to get better. And sometimes when you try to get better, you might end up getting worse in the short term. Chicago, I think, is a good example. They easily could have stood pat at three and still gotten their Trubisky or Trubidoux or whoever the heck that
Mitchell
kid was.
Trubisky.
You say it.
Mitchell Trubisky.
But at the same time, you have a rookie GM and a rookie head coach in San Francisco who fleeced them. I mean, they had a great draft. They had a really good draft.
Yes. I don't think I believe that John Lynch has spent more time than you want to think with John Elway about becoming a general manager. Both Stanford guys.
They talked on the phone before the draft and during the draft. I mean, Peter King's article today in Sports Illustrated talked all about how close he was to John Elway and the kind of feedback that he was getting, and that one of the first people to tweet him after the draft day was over was John Elway saying, great job. You know, I think the Denver team and the people here in Denver are very close to the staff that's up in San Francisco, and would not surprise me at some point down the road to see those kids come to Denver when they're booted out of San Francisco.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had thought that Kyle Shanahan would be a good choice. However, I'm glad that we have Vance Joseph because he's more of the, you know, let's build up men and let's, you know, go and follow me over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house and, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but I still think the biggest change, and I was listening to someone talk over the earlier today, and they were saying Kubiak's offense, they refused to change anything for anybody. Like, they didn't really change their offense a lot for Manning.
Won 3 Super Bowls with it.
Yeah, but different styles play better under different styles.
I take that back. They won 4 Super Bowls with it. Just this last one, I mean, I didn't count that one, but Baltimore, they won 1 with the offensive coordinator.
They did. And if you want to include San Francisco's and Shanahan's in there, because it was kind of a hybrid of going all the way back to Bill Walsh's San Francisco West Coast offense. But I do think Mike McCoy is going to make his playbook fit the talent that he has on offense, which is something Dennison and Kubiak never did here. And I love Kubiak. Don't get me wrong. I was never a big fan of Dennison, but I loved Kubiak. He just seemed too stubborn to change.
It's just that Dennison never played offense.
No, he never did. But Mike McCoy.
No, I mean, and
knows
I
how
can't
to
believe that I was the only person that was. I can't be have been the only person that was just saying that to myself.
I have been saying that since the day they hired him.
Like,
why do you take your special teams coach and put him in charge of the offense?
Yeah. Does anybody remember what side of the ball Rick Dennison played? Yeah, defense.
Yeah. But he coached. I think he coached linebackers, then special teams, and then offense. It's just a silly. I balked at it then, and I'm glad he's gone now. I wish him all the best, but he didn't belong.
I hope he comes back and signs autographs.
No, sure, yeah. But Mike McCoy is an honest to goodness offensive coordinator that's going to use the players he has. You know, and that's going to make a huge difference this year in our offense. And yeah. I also think with the player, you saw that reflected in the kind of players the Broncos took.
Well, you know what they took? They took all of the guys that they took, if you look at it, all the way from Bowles to Walker to Kelly. All of those guys have huge upside. So are there questions about Kelly? Yes, there are questions about Kelly.
There's questions about Bowles. Here's the only question.
But he's got a huge upside. He's got the most upside. Walker's got huge upside. Huge upside. I mean, he was the Outland Trophy winner for the best tight end.
DeMarcus Clark and Butt have the biggest upside Walker. On this team. DeMarcus Walker and Butt have the biggest
upside. He's just making up guys' names. DeMarcus Clark.
I got DeMarcus right, and I got Butt right. The only thing about Bowles that even remotely made me feel decent about the pick over the weekend was that he's mean. He's nasty. And with the guy we picked up from Dallas, who is also mean and nasty, it gives us an offensive line that's going to bring some attitude, which is what they need.
I think we got three mean and nasty new guys. And I think when you add, we got a center.
Oh, we've got a good center.
I think we're going to be fine at the offensive line. I'm telling you that our offensive line problems are mostly fixed.
Especially if Jamal Charles is running the ball.
I can't wait. Well, he might be in town now.
Jamal. Come on, baby.
Come on, Jamal, baby.
He's meeting with the Broncos tomorrow afternoon. If we have any updates by the time we hit the air, we'll let you know. Otherwise, have a great night.
Woo!
We'll see you on Tuesday at 8 o'clock on the Darren Copeland Experience. Woo! On Mile High Sports Radio. Good night, everybody.
It's Darren Copeland, weeknights 8 to 10, only on Mile High Sports.
Proceed to party. Now, I really love how you're easy to stack, but I really hate how you're easy to crack. 'Cause when beer runs down the front of my back.